in my Bible study in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20, there's a wonderful, wonderful nugget of truth, a golden nugget of truth that I hope, beloved, will bless your heart as it has blessed mine numerous times. Here in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20, "And now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end." The words of the Apostle Paul concerning Almighty God. God has done so many things in and through our lives to his honor, to his glory, and his praise. How many times our Lord has done exceeding abundantly above all we even ask or thought. How richly he has blessed the lives of all believers. Here in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 9, God did it in creation, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. Yes, we all know that the Lord Jesus Christ did the actual creation. God did it through the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the Word, as John 1 tells us, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." John 1:14 tells us, and John 1:17 tells us that the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. And so we see the connection as to who the Word is. The Word is the Lord Jesus Christ, who Genesis 1 tells us spoke, and all of these things came into existence by the mighty power of God. God did it in creation, and God has done it so many times for the nation of Israel, and has used Israel. He chose Israel because he loved them. He chose them to use for his glory, honor, and praise, and through which the law of God might be given to guide man, to teach man God's ways and God's truth. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1 through 15, "Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, did all eat the same spiritual meat, did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ." Yes, Christ was with Israel, even there in the wilderness, before he came into the world in physical form. He was there with Israel. "But with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink, and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer." Do you see the warnings, beloved? The warnings of the Old Testament and God's dealing with Israel in the Old Testament. God did it, beloved, to teach us. Verse 11, now all these things happened unto them for examples, and they're written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. So we see it's written for our admonition. It's written for our instruction, that we should obey God. And so we see that God did it for Israel, working in many marvelous ways to preserve and take care of Israel, even as he did with Joseph. God did it. If you'll notice in Genesis chapter 45 and verse 5 through 8, it's very evident that God did it. Now therefore be not grieved nor angry with yourselves, Joseph is speaking to his brethren, that ye sold me hither, for God did send me before you to preserve life. God did it, Joseph said. For these 2 years hath the famine been in the land, and yet there are 5 years in the which there shall neither be earing nor harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth, and to save your lives by a great deliverance. Notice, God did it. So now, it was not you that sent me hither, but God. And he hath made me a father to Pharaoh, and lord of all his house, and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. Moses realized that it was God who did it, and he didn't hold resentment, nor anger, nor ill will toward his brethren for what they had done in selling him to be a slave. But he said, God did it. God did it. God had a plan. God had a purpose. God had a will in it all. And beloved, God is sovereign and Lord of all. And so God works in the lives of men. And we need to be aware of God working in and through our lives. In the book of Isaiah is a very interesting passage of Scripture. Isaiah 45. And verse 7, the Lord God says, I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. Now the word evil here in the Hebrew is ra, ra, and it's translated sorrow, wretchedness, adversity, afflictions, calamities, but it's never translated sin. God created evil only in the sense that he made sorrow, wretchedness, adversity, afflictions, calamities to be the sure fruits and results of sin. Yes, beloved, God did it. God works in so many ways to accomplish his plan, his purpose, and his will. My own sweetheart wife has lupus. She has Barrett's disease, and she has osteoporosis. As a result, she now has 8 broken vertebrae in her back. She's confined to bed. And we would say, well, why would God allow this? But, beloved, the reason God has allowed it is to cause me to focus on our radio ministry, through which far more people have come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, and far more churches we've had a part in being established in various areas of the world than ever would have been accomplished had she been healthy and well, and had I been focusing on a local ministry. But because of her illness, and because God allowed it for a reason and for a purpose, which was the radio ministry, I now am reaching far more people with the gospel of Jesus Christ, because I had to leave my local ministry in order to be her caregiver and to take care of her needs. And thus the Lord gave me the radio broadcast that reaches Asia, Africa, Australia, many different areas of the world. We've heard from many different countries, from people who have heard the broadcast. We've seen many souls come to know Jesus Christ as Savior. We've mailed out many New Testaments and much Christian literature, and it's all been because of the Lord. Our ministry is helping to support a number of orphanages. And again, it's not what I did, but God did it, beloved. God did it and allowed me to be a vessel through which He could work to accomplish His purpose and His will, using my sweetheart wife as a vessel to accomplish His purpose and His will. And someone might say, well, couldn't God heal her? Of course He could, beloved. She was in a tuberculosis sanatorium for many months, and they found a hole in the left lobe of her lung the size of a 50-cent piece. They were getting ready to remove that lobe from her lung. Her mother, being a godly woman, had called different churches around the place there where they were in Carlsbad, Texas, and had asked the churches to pray for Verna and for her healing. The night before the surgery was to take place, a bright figure appeared beside her bed and told her that she had been healed and that she would not have the surgery. When she awoke the next morning, she thought it had been a vision or she had dreamed something about all of this, and she didn't realize it was reality. And so they took her in to do the x-ray before they would do the surgery to make sure they had the right lobe of the lung. And when they did the x-ray, they said, what is this young lady doing in this hospital? She does not have tuberculosis. Her lungs are in excellent condition. Why is she here? And within a short time, she was released. And even today, doctors say that her lungs are in better condition than their own lungs are. God healed her. And, beloved, God could heal her of these other diseases that she now suffers from. But God has a plan. God has a purpose. God has a will. And God's way is always the best way. And that's why we're to trust in the Lord with all of our heart, to not lean to our own understanding, but in all of our ways to acknowledge that God's sovereign and He's in control, and to trust Him to direct our path and guide our steps. Oh, beloved, how wonderful it is to cast our care upon Him because He cares for us. How wonderful it is to know that God's in control and we can trust Him in every situation, in every circumstance as a child of God because He loves us and we're His property. As 1 Corinthians 6:19-20 tells us, Paul, writing to the believers at the church at Corinth, says, what? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Beloved, we belong to God. He purchased us out of the slave market of sin. We were bound by sin and slaves to sin, but the Lord delivered us and liberated us and set us free and made us joint heirs with Jesus Christ. And so we're God's property, beloved. We belong to the living God. And so let the Lord have His way in your life every day. It reminds me of a little chorus that was taught to me years ago by an evangelist who came to visit us when we were missionaries on the big island of Hawaii. Let the Lord have His way in your life every day. there's no peace, there's no rest, until the Lord has His way. Place your life in His hands, rest securely in His plans. Let the Lord have His way. Oh, beloved, I trust you'll do that today. I trust you'll let the Lord have His way. Let Him work in and through your life to glorify, magnify, exalt, and lift up Himself, and bring glory to Himself through your life. You'll find your life fulfilled and meaningful and rejoicing that God's able to take your life and use you to His honor, His glory, and His praise. And it will bring meaning and fulfillment into your life. Today, submit to His will and let the Lord work in and through you, even as He did with Joseph, through whatever trial, through whatever hardship, through whatever difficulty, through whatever illness or affliction you may be going through. God has a purpose for His child. If you know Him as your Savior, God's at work in it all to accomplish His best for your life. Yes, we do reap what we sow. It's a law of God. And if we have sown bad seed, we will reap a bad harvest. Even when we've sinned against the Lord God and we've asked His forgiveness and He's forgiven us, yes, He's cleansed us from our sin. He's made us pure and clean, but we will still reap the results of our actions. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Yes, beloved, it's a law of Almighty God, like the law of gravity. God did it. How many times God works in and through our lives to accomplish His purpose, His will, His plan. And yes, the result of sin, beloved, is sorrow, wretchedness, adversity, afflictions, calamities. And, beloved, God is at work in the life of every child of His, to His honor, His glory, and His praise. Let the Lord have His way in your life. Read Psalm 105 and Psalm 106. There you'll see how God did it in the lives of Israel and in the nation of Israel, and how, beloved, He's able to work in and through your life and mine to accomplish His plan, His purpose, and His best, to His honor, His glory, His praise, and for our good, as Romans 8:28-29 tells us, that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. And verse 29 states that we might be conformed to the image of His Son, that we might be made a reflection of Jesus Christ. Even as the moon reflects the light of the sun, so you and I might reflect Jesus to those that are about us. Until the next time we have the privilege of considering some golden nuggets of truth together, may God richly bless you, my beloved.